Honor thy father and thy mother, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth.
The fourth commandment.
Thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. What?
And you may or may not recognize that as a portion of the Ten Commandments for Little Ears, produced by Gospel Outreach out of Olympia, Washington. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, and you are listening to Law and Gospel on this Tuesday, September the 17th, in the year of our Lord, 2013. And normally Tuesday is a rumination day when we have an ordained pastor with us, Mark Smith. But I've asked him to hold off till tomorrow. He hopes to be with us tomorrow as we talk about issues from a Law and Gospel perspective, because today we have three guests, and their names are Evan and Lena Scamman, S-C-A-M-M-A-N, with their daughter Kate. They're out of Aberdeen, Washington, and he's in town because, while a former member of Gospel Outreach, he has desired to become a pastor of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and was at our seminary yesterday talking to people about coming in next year, and things are looking up for that. So without further ado, let me introduce you to, first of all, Evan. Hi, Evan.
Hi, glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yes, one of the questions that, of course, individuals are going to be asking is, what is there about Lutheranism that kind of drew you to become a Lutheran pastor? Because I've been at Gospel Outreach about five times, and even though they don't have the name Lutheran on their church, they're about as Lutheran as you can get, as they believe in justification by grace through faith alone, and some wonderful Bible class teachers as well as pastors there. But what drew you to Lutheran theology?
Well, I would say actually it was God blessing us with faithful pastors, because this was a decision not that I made, but that our pastors made, to read Lutheran material and talk to Lutheran pastors, invite you to our church. And I see that there is the comfort of the gospel that you don't find in other denominations, that I find I'm very thankful for.
Yes, I'm often asked the question, if you believe that people from the Methodist Church, the Baptist Church, the Roman Catholic, and the Lutheran are all going to heaven, why would you be Lutheran? And my answer is that there is more comfort found in Lutheran theology, because we neither add to the Bible nor subtract from the Bible, so that even though others are still going to heaven, they don't have the comfort because of the theology that they hold to during this time. Are you a little nervous, Lena, about becoming a Lutheran pastor's wife?
Probably just a bit.
Well, I can tell you, we've got some great congregations in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I was at one last week that they're calling a pastor, and they are going to be very friendly to the Lutheran pastor's wife. So I don't think you have anything to worry about.
Thank you.
Are you also glad with Lutheran theology?
Yes, I've actually found myself very thankful to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, that there's absolutely nothing that I can do, that it's already done all by Him.
You know, that's kind of an interesting way of putting it, which is absolutely accurate, but one would think that there is nothing you can do would make people who have kind of a Pharisaical attitude that they want to contribute to their salvation. And I think that's one of the main reasons that Lutheranism is not looked upon with favor by many people, because it doesn't give them any credit for their salvation, does it?
No, it doesn't.
How can that be a comfort?
Because there's so much about me that would love to add to it, but if it depends on me, then I'm in big trouble.
Well, let's go back to Evan to find out all the things that's wrong in her life, her sin, and no, you don't. Oh, okay. Well, I'll tell you why Evan doesn't want to do that, because she'll turn right around and do better.
Well, I'm going home with her after this program, so.
Well, you hope you're going home, yes. Actually, I'm encouraging you to come over to Concordia Publishing House to take a look at some of their fine books there, because they just came out with a new catalog with just excellent books. But, Kate, are you looking forward maybe to moving from where you're at to go with your dad and mom as he trains to become a Lutheran pastor?
Yes.
What do you do right now? What school do you go to?
I'm homeschooling.
And do you have a very good teacher? Who is it?
My mom.
Oh, well, she's a good teacher, isn't she?
Yes.
Yes. What kind of subjects are you looking at?
Math, history, art, science.
Well, I know when you come to either St. Louis or Fort Wayne, as you make a decision which of the two seminaries we have to go to, there are going to be schools there, as well as a number of pastors' wives who are even training their children with homeschooling. So you should be well at home. Evan, when you take a look at the kinds of things that you feel you need to learn, what would you put into that category? Because I understand you had some pretty high grades back on certain preliminary tests, like on the New Testament and the Old Testament. What else do you look forward to in coming to the seminary about?
I look forward to most learning how to take the scriptures and find the law and gospel that is in every scripture, or so I've been told. And I've heard some excellent pastors take a scripture, and I don't have a clue how they're going to talk about that. And they go ahead and talk, and there is the law, and it kills you. And then here comes the gospel, and it brings such comfort. And that's what I find really exciting about what I'm going to be learning.
Lena, you did become Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through another church, I believe in Washington State. Can you tell us a little bit about the name of the church and the pastors?
Yeah, we come from Calvary Lutheran Church in Aberdeen, Washington. Our senior pastor is Pastor Luke Kastner, and there's an SMP pastor, Pastor Dan Vines, and the retired pastor who pastored in Aberdeen for 30 years, Pastor Pete Peterson.
So you enjoy the Bible studies that they have?
Yes, very, very much.
And in fact, I think, Evan, you actually attend with the pastors one of the Bible studies.
Yeah, one day I stumbled into the office and the three pastors were sitting there with the DCE intern, and they were having their weekly meeting where they talk about everything from theology to whatever happens to come up. And I was hoping to be a future pastor, and they said, hey, have a seat, sit down. So they invited me back, which I was surprised about, and it's kind of the highlight of my week.
So when they do their Bible studies, if you can recall, are they talking about the readings coming up in the next Sunday, or what are they dealing with?
It does vary. The last 3 weeks, they actually took a broadcast by Todd Wilkins on Locus and Focus, God's Will for Your Daily Life.
Issues, etc., yes.
Yes, and they spent 2 or 3 weeks going over that. And before that, they were going through the Book of Acts. And that's as far back as we go. So
yes. So when they go through these Bible studies, is there an effort to understand them from a law and gospel point of view?
Yes.
Yes. And it really does make a difference, doesn't it? Yeah, we were just talking about, for example, the Sunday school lesson I had done about Solomon's temple. And I was asking the question to you, what is the difference between Solomon's temple and the temple of all the pagans? And how would you answer that right now?
Do you want the wrong answer that I gave before this?
No, I want the right answer.
Well, the pagan temples, this is the answer that you told me, so I'm sure you'll agree with it. Every pagan temple, it's built for an idol.
Yes.
And God's temple was built for his people.
In other words, when it's built for the idol, they're bringing the idol gifts and things like that, hoping to placate or appease the idol, whereas God is bringing gifts to his temple for his people. It's just the opposite direction.
Right.
And that's what we call a law and gospel understanding, because under the law, you drive the verbs. Under the gospel, God drives the verbs. Can you explain a little bit what that means?
Yes. Under the law, everything comes back to what we're going to do in order to help God out with our salvation. But according to the gospel, we're coming and God has already accomplished everything. And in fact, even in worship, it's not a worship service where God needs us to praise him. We're coming to the worship service in order to receive the gifts that Christ has given to us.
Yeah, we did a little charting about using a play as a way of understanding worship, in the sense there's a audience, there's an actor, and there is, of course, the prompter. Lena, when we first asked the question, what do most Christians think is the audience?
The congregation.
Yes. And do you now agree with that?
No.
Who would you say the actor is in the worship service?
Our Heavenly Father,
that's
Jesus.
Right. Yes, Jesus is the actor because he is the one who's bringing us the gifts. There's actually two parts of a service. It's called the sacrificial and the sacramental. The sacrificial part is where we offer God our gifts, such as our voice in singing, or our offerings, or our praise to him, or our prayers to him. The sacramental part is where he gives to us all the benefits of what he won for us on the cross. Now, some people think that, at least I was taught this, that the first part of the service is sacrificial and the part with the Lord's Supper is sacramental. But I kind of disagree with that. Because when you sing a hymn, just as I am without one plea, and talk about Jesus dying for me, it's first of all sacrificial because you're offering your voice praising God. But God is now talking back to you through the words of the hymn.
Mm-hmm.
And he's helping you to understand exactly what is going on. So the entire liturgy I consider to be sacrificial as well as sacramental. For example, we start off with a confession of sin. Now that seems kind of odd. It doesn't sound very user-friendly in a worship service that you start off saying, I, a poor, miserable sinner, deserve nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. Yes. But Evan, why is that important?
I believe that we're not prepared to hear the gospel until we, by the Holy Spirit, have been brought to that place where we can confess our sin.
Yes, and I'm going to kind of give an example with Kate here. Now, Kate, let's say I had a long needle and I wanted to push the needle into your arm. Would you let me do that right now?
No.
But let's say I told you you had an illness and this would be able to help you. And your mom and dad says, yes, you should take it. Would you take it then?
Yes.
Yes, very good. Because you've discovered something about theology. No one will take the cure or the treatment until they know they are what? That they need it. See, that's what you just said. You weren't going to take the needle, but if you need it, then that's something you could do. Do you understand that?
Yes.
And that's what your father was talking about, that the good news is the forgiveness of sins. But if somebody doesn't think they're a sinner, then they're not going to like that good news. For example, the example I like using is I go up to somebody on the street and I say, I've got a wonderful gift for you. And they look at me and say, oh, really? What is it? And I said, here's a breath mint.
Right. What are you telling me?
Yes.
You're saying I have bad breath?
Well, you know, what you just said there, that's exactly what the Pharisees said. Jesus said, I have for you the forgiveness of sins. And they said, what are you telling me? Are you telling me I'm a bad sinner?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's that parable about the Pharisee who thanked God what?
That he wasn't like the bad sinner.
Yes, the tax collector.
Mm-hmm.
And then the reasons he said he wasn't, because I tithe, he says, I fast. And this was something we had talked about earlier together, that many in Judaism thought that if they follow the ceremonial laws, that's how they're saved.
Right.
And of course, these other people weren't following the ceremonial laws. A number of rabbis had a prayer thanking God they weren't born a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Can you guess why?
No, but I might have found myself praying that once or twice.
Oh, yes. Well, we won't let Lena answer this. The reason they did that is the women weren't allowed to do all the ceremonial laws. They couldn't come into the temple proper. Only the men who had been bar mitzvahed could. And so by being born a man, they could fulfill all the necessary ceremonial laws, which they thought was the basis of their salvation. But Jesus said, you know, you search the scriptures to find salvation, but here I'm standing in front of you and you ignore me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, who did he say their father was?
Satan.
Yes, their father is Satan. Yeah. See, when the law speaks, it sometimes hits a person hard. And that's why many pastors, if you listen to evangelical radio, you hear very little strong law there.
Mm-hmm.
Because they want to be kind of user-friendly. You've got people like Joel Osteen that gives you the impression you can do anything in your life if you only put your mind to it with the help of the Holy Spirit. But people last in a church like that maybe 4 or 5 years before they recognize it really doesn't work.
Right.
And that's because there's no promise in the Bible
mm-hmm.
for that. If you had a, if I was to ask you to teach a Bible study to, say, a group in the next few days, what Bible study would be one of your favorites to talk about? Have you ever given thought of that?
Something specifically from the Bible?
Yes.
You know, I do like, and I got this from you, but I do like the one, what you call the hardest scripture in the Bible.
Oh, yes.
Unless you forgive from your heart,
yeah,
your Heavenly Father won't forgive you. And how do you find the true law and gospel in that scripture?
I've done that in front of a number of pastors, and there's only about a handful that ever gave the answer I gave. Because they always want to get back to forgiveness. But it's the reason it's one of the hardest passages in the Bible, it's one of the only ones that doesn't allow forgiveness. If you don't do what God says, then he's not going to forgive you.
Mm-hmm.
So being sorry for not being able to do it doesn't count in that verse. Like right. If I murder somebody and I'm later repentant of it, God will forgive me. But if I don't forgive someone and I'm sorry about not being able to do it, God says very clearly, no, if you don't forgive, I won't forgive you. So where is the gospel?
Well, from the perspective that Christ accomplished everything that we were not able to do, then
yes,
you can say the gospel in there is that Christ did what we were unable to do. I could not forgive my neighbor,
yes,
but he has already accomplished that for me.
And it's one of the gifts that you are given. It's called, I'll ask Lena this one, it's called the robe of
righteousness.
Very good. That only appears in the book of Isaiah. Although it certainly is mentioned in Revelation that they're wearing white robes and such. And that's the righteousness of Christ. So you have two problems that keeps you from going to heaven. The first are sins of commission,
mm-hmm,
and the second are sins of
omission.
Omission. So when you commit a sin and are repentant of it, Christ died on the cross and paid the punishment for that. So that's how you get forgiveness. But if you omit to do a good work, the gospel good news is that God at your baptism has dressed you in the robe of righteousness. Remember, you get two gifts at baptism, according to Peter in Pentecost. The gift of the Holy Spirit is one, and the gift of the remission of sins. But with that gift of the Holy Spirit comes your body is now the temple of the of God, as well as the fact that you're wearing the robe of righteousness. So I had a lady who could not forgive, and I was able to look at her and say, you don't have to forgive because Christ has forgiven in your place and transferred what we call the glorious exchange. Mm-hmm. You give him all your problems. He gives you all his forgiveness and righteousness. And the reason I want you to keep in mind your favorite Bible verse is because oftentimes I find myself in a situation and talking to somebody, they say, aren't you the pastor on KFUO? I say, yes. And you do law and gospel, don't you? And I said, yeah. In fact, I was just thinking of this verse. And then I'll go into a verse and we'll start talking about it. Because if you can leave the listener with a surprise, and you can't believe how many Christians are worried about going to heaven because they're unable to forgive somebody. Mm-hmm. Part of that reason is forgiveness is often thought of as forgetting, to forgive and forget. Because God says he's going to forget our sins. So I'm going to put you on the spot here. How can God, who's omniscient, forget sins?
Should I give you the Lutheran answer?
Give me the biblical answer, which to me would be the same, but go ahead.
I'm out on a limb here. I would say I have no idea, but he certainly does it.
Yes, he certainly does it because when he says, I'm going to forget your sins, he's not talking about memory. He's talking about something else. It's kind of like, Lena, have you ever, your daughter does something to you and you do something back and she says, I'm not going to forget that. What does she mean by that?
She's going to remember it.
She's going to remember it and getting even with you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So when God says, I no longer remember your sins, it means that he doesn't forget them. He's omniscient. But he no longer is going to get even with you.
Mm. Wow.
In fact, that's what the word forgiveness means. It means you no longer have to pay the price. He no longer holds you accountable for your sin. Instead, he holds his son accountable.
Yeah.
Because he had the sins of the entire world on his shoulders. So you come out of a religious background, a gospel outreach, where that message was very clear that Jesus paid for the sins of the whole world. And that's why I enjoyed so much going to gospel outreach. And then when I was requested by them, can we do a CD of the Ten Commandments for Little Ears? I thought it was just marvelous, well, what they were doing here. And I think it's something, by the way, Ten Commandments for Little Ears, if you go to lawgospel.com, that is available on our website. It's a whole CD, not only of the Ten Commandments, but also Martin Luther's meaning of the Ten Commandments. And we have found that little children, 4, 5, 6 years old, if they are listening to this for about 2 weeks, they end up memorizing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a wonderful. And we're looking forward, hopefully, if they can get going on the Apostles' Creed. So, you know, if you ever get a chance to talk to them, it'd be something great to be able to say to them. Anything else you would like to say about your hopes for becoming a Lutheran pastor?
I really am looking forward. I think there's nothing better on this earth than to be able to give to someone who is distraught and tormented by their sin, to be able to give them the goods that Christ has given us. And I look forward to learning how to do that.
As we were talking earlier when we were at dinner, I talked about Lena, that the pastor needs to look on himself as a physician. Can you explain a little bit how you would understand that?
Well, it's important that a physician listen to the patient and hear their symptoms before they can make a diagnosis. And in the case of a pastor, there are generally two possibilities, that a person is coming to the pastor tormented and in fear of damnation, or coming unrepentant and proud of whatever deed they committed or even didn't do. So in the case of a pastor, listening for those cues and knowing whether it's the law that the person needs to hear or the gospel is hugely important.
Why don't we allow women to be pastors? That was such a good answer. Well, the Bible says so, but Evan, you got to listen to her because she'll be a wonderful wife and a wonderful, and make sure she reads all your sermons before you give them. Well, thank you so much for being with us. And Kate, do you want to say goodbye to everybody?
Goodbye.
Thank you so very much.
Thanks, Tom Baker.
And thank you for being with us. And tomorrow on Law and Gospel, we're going to be going to listen to Mark Smith as we talk about ruminations. We have an interesting topic I'm sure you're going to be interested in. And continue to pray for this family so that God will lead Evan to become a pastor of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Till tomorrow, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on KFUO Radio. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is archived for your listening convenience at KFUO.org.
This is Alan Erdman with the Lutheran Family and Children's Services Minute. As adults, one of the laziest verbal shortcuts we use is